Paul's using here the words gain, counted, and loss. I want you to notice what he's purposely choosing these words. These words are accounting terms. I am terrible. You could look at his today at the Library of Congress. They have his some of his books, his ledgers that he would keep. And he was always writing, but you know what he never did? He never wrote his income. Always had his expenditures, but never wrote his, he never knew how much his estates were bringing in. And because of that, he was always every year in the negative. So when he died, they had to sell his library to the start our national library. And they were able to get him out of debt and retire out of debt. But Jefferson never knew. Paul is saying, you need to know. You need to see. And he goes, and I have counted. And all the stuff that I had built up in my life as a way of being righteous under the law, all this gain, he said, I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. I counted it as loss. It's not that our works for righteousness to make ourselves feel better. It's not that it's nothing. It's actually loss. It's negative. My son and I had a conversation about this in the greenhouse as we were working and we were talking. And at first we said, yeah, these things are, they're just nothing. And then I said, no, hold on a sec. No, it's not just that they're nothing. They're actually not zero. They're actually negative. Paul says they are loss for the sake of Christ. Loss. In verse 7, he says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. In verse 8, indeed, I count everything as loss. Now, I want you to notice two little things there. Maybe you could highlight it in your Bible. He says, I counted. That's past tense. I counted. So that's talking about my history, my past. All those things I did to be righteous before God, it's nothing, it's loss. Less than nothing, it's loss. I counted, past tense. But look in verse 8. Verse 8 starts off, indeed, I count. Do you see that? I was never very good in grammar, English. I was really bad at it. I still am. If I post anything on Facebook, my wife, she's got to edit it for me. Because I'm going to forget punctuation. I'm going to forget everything. I said, honey, but I don't post very much on Facebook. But when I do, Megan's there. She's got to be there so I can show her. Because I'll mess that up. But even I know this. Even I could tell. In verse 8 here, Paul is saying, I count. This is present tense. Present. Paul is saying, indeed, I count today, now, everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. All my birthright, all my education, all my zeal, I count it as loss. But even today, in my life, in my ministry, in what I have done and accomplished for the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? I am counting it as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. What an amazing testimony that Paul is sharing with us this morning. What a beautiful picture into Paul's heart. This is intensely personal. Intensely personal. He knows that none of these things have any value for salvation. They're negative. They're loss. And anything we could take for credit for ourselves that we could say, knock on wood, hey, yeah, I'm pretty good at this. I'm good at that. I have talents. I have skills. Paul says, no, even now, it's all loss. It's God using me. God working through me. I'm a weak, sinful individual. We are weak, sinful creatures. And Paul is saying, it's not you. It's me through you in your life. Even now, count these things as loss. Continuing verse 8 there, he says, for his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Paul's lost it all. He's in prison right now. He's lost his reputation. He's given up his affluence, his money, his financial independence, probably even his health. When you think of all the abuse and the punishment he received, malnourishment, you could read the litany. He talks about that. Paul saying, I have suffered loss of all things. But even all those things, my health, my freedom, I'm in prison, all these things, what does he say? I count them as rubbish in order that I may know gain Christ. I want to look at this word rubbish here because this is pretty important. You guys know what a rubbish is. Rubbish is a fancy way of saying garbage. But that really doesn't exactly give us the whole truth in the Greek. Paul is referring to rubbish, and it's often in some translations rendered as dung. Okay, and so you might have that translation. I think King James renders it as dung. It's right. Dung, it's excrement. It's to be scorned. It's only worthy for the dogs. He says, I counted them as rubbish. I counted all these things as rubbish for the sake or in order that I may gain Christ. I have suffered much. Paul has suffered much. We can see that suffering. And yet, he doesn't look at it as loss. He looks at it as gain. Because he's gained Christ, it says. I may gain Christ. Paul doesn't look at any of this as gain, as loss. Everything is gain to him. So now we're going to move on to the gain. That's found in verses 9 through 11. Paul talks about the gain. Well, let's look at this in detail. Starting there in verse 9, we see this, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, or Christ the righteousness from God that depends on faith. And so Paul is saying, I'm not going to have any righteousness of my own. There's no righteousness of our own. It's only God, Jesus, his righteousness with his substitutionary death on the cross for our sins. And by that, God has imputed. It's a fancy theological way of saying God has put it on us. He has given his righteousness to us. So any kind of self-righteousness we could put on, Paul says, just dirty rags. Dirty rags. It just mars. There's nothing to it. We have Christ's righteousness. Our own self-righteousness could never set us free from sin, from the power of sin. Only Christ Jesus, only in him, knowing him, can we be set free from sin. What a beautiful picture that is. None of this can come from any good works we could ever do. I was preparing the sermon, and today is St. Patrick's Day, so I got my green on. And I thought of this quote from St. Patrick to share with you. I'm Irish, so please, you'll have to forgive me on this. But I love this quote from St. Patrick. He said this, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. It's that all-encompassing life of Christ that should consume us, that we should be pursuing with the same zeal and vigor that Paul is describing here. No matter what trials and travails we may be going through in life, Paul says it's rubbish if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Let's continue on now. Verse 10, Paul continues on, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death. I want to look at this word know mentioned there in verses 9 or 8 and 10 there. The word know there is a specific Greek word. It's called, the word is ginosko. And ginosko, it's not that mental knowledge, the facts that some people are so good at, like my son. He's amazing. He has such an amazing command of facts and information. He could tell you all about Alexander the Great. He could tell you more about Alexander the Great than you probably want to have time to listen to him. He's got all the presidents in order by memory. And he could tell you all about those presidents too, give you information about them. This is a factual knowledge. But that's not what Paul's talking about here in this. This word gnosko is a very, very specific kind of knowledge. This is a knowledge of personal experience, an experiential knowledge. Paul says, I want to know in a personal, experiential way. I want to know Jesus Christ. I don't want to know about him. I want to know him. Sometimes we can get caught up as Christians coming to the Bible, coming to church, and then just learning things in our head. Instead of walking away from church on Sunday, says, I know Jesus better now today. I want to know him more tomorrow. We all get caught up in that. Paul's saying, I want to know him. Some of you here today, maybe you've been brought up in church your whole life, like me. Before I was 18 years old is when I got saved. And I went to church my whole life. I went to Sunday school, church camps, vacation Bible school. I went to 2 youth groups. I had all the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I had it all in my head. But I had no idea what it was to have a personal experiential relationship with Jesus. Until one summer when I realized my sin and I repented of my sin. I saw my sin and I knew I was going to hell. And then I found out that God wanted to forgive me of my sin. I was like, what? Really? You can actually forgive me of my sin? This was a church kid for the first time starting to realize, wow, I can be forgiven of my sin. And I said, yes, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. And I'm tired of fighting you. I'm tired of running my own life. I don't want to run my life anymore. I gave my life to Jesus. Maybe some of you here today are like that too. Maybe some of you have grown up in church, so you think that you're a Christian because you've been in church like I did. Let me tell you, that kind of knowledge of Jesus will not save you. It cannot. It'll make you a good person. It'll make you a moral person. But it won't save you. You have to have that personal gnosko, the personal experiential knowing Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And some of us here, we've had that. We've had that personal relationship. We have made a time in our life when we gave Jesus Christ our life. But guess what? Guess what happens? Our love can grow cold. Our heart can be hardened because of pride, apathy, legalism, routine. You could go through the list. We can replace our first love. Our heart can be hardened. Our theology can be perfect and accurate and right on the money. But our heart can be cold and far away from God. Either way, we're gathered here today. God has brought you here to hear this message this morning. Maybe he's talking to your heart right now. To repent of your, whatever it might be, apathy. Maybe to repent for the very first time in your life. God has called you here this morning to hear this word. When we are so consumed with a view of our own self-righteousness, and we are so consumed with Jesus that we see our own self-righteousness as dung, then we will know the power of his resurrection. And we see that there in verse 11. That by any means possible, I know the power of his resurrection. The power of the risen life of Jesus Christ in our lives. The power of the risen life of Jesus. We can know this power. We can know his strength. We can know his grace. But he wants us. He wants all of us. He wants complete and total surrender. And we were just talking this morning about that. It's a daily battle. It's a daily sacrifice. He wants it all to Christians. He wants your whole heart, your whole life. And when you give it to him, then you will know the power of his resurrection. You will also know, very likely, the sufferings and the death. Paul went through a lot of sufferings. He identified with Christ wholeheartedly his whole life, and for that he paid the ultimate price with death as a martyr. If you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, I would encourage you to pick up a copy or get the audio book. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Even today, people and Christians are martyred all over the world for their faith. Paul says, I'm happy for the sake of Christ. I'm happy. And before I knew Danny was picking this hymn that we're going to sing next, I had already included this hymn in the sermon this morning. So that's a praise right there of God. But as I was looking at this, I was thinking about this. This hymn came to my mind, and I wanted to read the words. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. Onward to the prize before us. Soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread the streets of gold. Let's pray. Oh Lord, so many times we keep our eyes on the wrong things. We keep our eyes on our flesh. Lord, we keep our eyes on the things that we think will make us truly happy, that'll make you happy. But Lord, these are the things that we recognize, as Paul has, that they are loss. They're dung. Lord, why do we put so much confidence in our flesh? Lord, we are so sorry. Help us, God, help us to forsake these things that we hold on to so tightly. And we would look at it like Paul did, count it as loss, and count you, Jesus Christ, to be our gain. Thank you that you offer so much hope, so much grace for us, for the future, for today. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.